all the while that we were singing, I was searching through the scriptures for the Brummelites. And I was unable to find them, but then I thought, well, when I get home, I will check to see if it is in Hezekiah chapter 1. That's very good, Jim. I appreciated that very much. The Brummelites. Wonderful to see our young people honoring the Lord with the gifts that He has given to them. As Tim was saying, when he began here, made some comment about my ability to sing. And he was right, of course. I can make a loud noise, but I can't carry a tune in a bushel basket. But I can get excited.
Amen.
And I think that's what he said, didn't he? Yes, that's what Tim was saying. It's wonderful, isn't it? To know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior and have reason to get excited about life. Mm-hmm. To get excited about what awaits us in eternity in the heavens above. But in the meantime, as mortals, we find ourselves here upon the face of this earth. And as we think about that, as mortals, we recognize that we do have an immortal soul. Our spirit is eternal, and we recognize that. And so as mortals, we long for that day when this mortal shall put on immortality. Do you ever think about that and long for that? But here we are upon the face of the earth, and we are yet mortals. You know, one of the things that I enjoyed so much as a boy, and I did for many years as I was growing up into a man until my wife said no more, was camping in a tent. I loved to camp in a tent, and while my wife despised it, she was willing to endure it to please me and our two sons. But I'll never forget the day when, as we were pitching our tent, and she said, "That's it. I'm done. No more." And she never has. I love tents. And you know, the scriptures talk to us about our bodies as though they were tents. It speaks to us about our bodies are a tabernacle, which would speak to us about portability. Portable. Being able to move it from place to place. Temporary is maybe a better word. This body, this tabernacle in which I live, is only temporary. I praise God for this body that I am in, because I have gotten to know so many of you who have the same predicament. You are trapped in this body of flesh. But we have the joy of getting to know each other in this life, and to think in terms of to spend eternity in heaven as immortals. And you know, I believe that we're going to be able to sit around in heaven in our immortal state and reminisce about these times upon the earth. I do believe that. What a wonderful thing it is to have hope in the Lord. I had a little tent when I was a boy growing up on the farm. It was a makeshift thing. I'm not certain really that it was a tent. But it was just an old piece of canvas that we would, as boys, would take it out into the field, the pasture behind our barn, and we would put it up, and it didn't have any ends in it. It was just kind of a teepee-like thing. And pitch that little tent. And I always pitched it so that while we were sleeping in it at night, that was one of the things that we enjoyed doing, was being able to go out in the summer night, put up our little tent, and sleep there in that tent. But as we pitched the tent, I was very careful to pitch it so that the opening faced the light that my father had in the barnyard on the farm. It was important to me to see that light. I've never been very fond of darkness. I'm not going to tell you that I am afraid of darkness, but I will just simply say I have never been very fond of it. And to be able to look out through that tent door and to see that light, if I would wake up in the middle of the night and look out, it was encouraging to me to know that that light was there and my father and mother was there. And so, yes, I enjoyed tents. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is tents. How many of you have camped in tents? Let's see your hand. Oh, that's awesome. I knew I was in good company. I could just feel it. I could just sense it. It's a wonderful thing to be able to rejoice together in the things of the Lord. I want to read a passage of Scripture to you right now, and found in the book of Luke, I believe. Yes. Luke, and chapter 14, and verse 7. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here. And he put forth a parable to those who were bidden to the feast, when he marked how they chose out the chief places, saying unto them, when thou art bidden by any man to a wedding, sit not down in the chief seat, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest place, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have honor in the presence of them that dine with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now you say, Dave, what does that have to do with tents? I thought we were going to talk about tents. What does this got to do with tents? Well, when I think about tents, and I think about the tent that the Lord Jesus Christ himself dwelled in when he was up on the face of this earth, he had a body like you and I. And therefore, the book of Hebrews exclaims with joy, we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities, for he has been tested and tried in every way such as we are. Isn't that awesome? The Lord Jesus Christ has been tempted and tried in every way that you and I are. When I was in the military, in the Coast Guard, we had two orders of officers. There were the academy officers who went in as young men, most of them as young men into the academy, with no prior military experience. And they were trained to be officers. And they were good men. But they lacked experience. They would come out of the academy as ensigns, the lowest order of academy officers. Many of them were wonderful men, but there were some of them who were very arrogant. Because they had a superior attitude. We are officers, and you are enlisted.
Oh, boy.
Thank God there were not many like that. But there were some that were that way. And then the second order of officers that we had was warrant officers. Those officers started out the same way as we did, as E1s, the lowest form of any military position, or rank, if you will. E1s. They started out the same way as E1s. And they made their way up through the rates, up through the ranks, till they finally got into the chief petty officers, and then past the chief petty officers, beyond them, there was a special rate if they wanted to advance to become an officer equal to an academy officer. They made them warrant officers. But the difference was, is that the warrant officer came up through the ranks like we did. So he experienced the same things that we experienced. And they were compassionate men, understanding men, and we respected them highly. We respected the academy officers also. But you understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight. The warrant officers had been tested and tried in every way, such as we were, and they could understand our problems and the difficulty with which we served our ranks. They could understand and appreciate. And they were more personable with us. Whereas the academy officers were trained, taught in the academy to keep a distance between you and the men. And we understood that too, and that was okay. We understood that had to be. But we love the warrant officers. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He has been tested and tried in every way such as we are. And we love Him. We respect Him. We can feel His warmth towards us. As He expresses in the Scriptures, He remembers that we are but dust. Isn't that an awesome thing? The Lord Jesus Christ could and did understand our problems. And so as we think about these things, the body that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself was in, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If ever there was a person, if ever there was a situation where a man was taken from a lowly position and elevated to a higher position, it was manifested in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He was very God, but he chose not to speak about that, not to flaunt that, but he chose to be one of us. And so you say, well, Dave, I thought you were going to talk to us about tents. And so I am. So with those thoughts, would you turn with me back to the book of Genesis? And we will begin with Genesis chapter 12. And verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the oak of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And Abram removed from there unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the Negev. When I think about the covenant that the Lord made with Abram at that time, and that Abram took that to heart, and he rejoiced in that, and he made an altar to the Lord concerning that. In fact, he journeyed a little further and made a second altar unto the Lord concerning that. He found joy in praising the Lord. He found joy in finding hope in his Lord. Joy in thinking what the Lord had said, that he was going to give to him this land. And so, as we read through the book of Genesis, and we have here in Genesis chapter 12, a short time in which Abram made a mistake, and it's not something we need to dwell on tonight, but Abram found himself for a short time out of fellowship with the Lord. And if you would look, when you get home tonight, Genesis chapter 12 and read verses 10 through 20, you will understand what I am saying. Abram got his eyes off the Lord and thinking about himself. And he asked his wife if she would tell the Egyptians, for that's where they lived, you are my sister. You are not my wife. That was the mistake that Abraham made, and he said that because he was afraid for his life. They would kill him and take his life. So that's the short story that you find there. Abraham was chastised by the Lord for that. And what do we find that Abram did? What did he do? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to get a hold of this and hang on to it. Abram had made a mistake. We all make mistakes. He had established altars where he worshiped the Lord, and then he digressed. He made a mistake. And the Lord came to him and to his wife and to Pharaoh. Abram repented. Where did he go? We don't have time to read the whole text tonight, but where did he go? After this, where did he go? He went back to where he had first established those altars in relationship to the promise that the Lord had made to him, that he would give him this land, and that all the nations of the earth would be blessed because of him. We need to stop here for a moment and make an insertion. Actually, in truth, the promise that was given to Abram was actually concerning not so much Abram as it was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. And that is to what is being referred to here. That through Abram's line, through Sarai's line, and on through the genealogy of the Old Testament, we find the Lord Jesus Christ came. And so Abram wanted to get back there again. And he fell on his face before the Lord. We need to get a hold of that. We make mistakes in life, don't we? And we need to get a hold of that and recognize that. And we need to give allowance for those around us who make mistakes also. We need to allow them to make the mistakes and then pray that they will return to the Lord. And so, Abram went back to those altars. And then an amazing thing happened. An amazing thing happened. Genesis chapter 13. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife. And it is here where they went back to those altars. And in verse 5 says, and Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was watered even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Now you understand what happened here. Abram gave Lot a choice, because they couldn't dwell together anymore. There were too many of them. And Abram gave him a choice. Take what you want, I'll give you whatever you want. And Lot, being the man that he was, took the very best. He didn't take the low place. He didn't take the low seat. He took the high seat. And then he did an incredible thing. And this is the thought that I want to leave, especially with the young people today. What Lot did. Verse 12. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. You remember what I told you in the beginning? That I like to pitch my little tent so I could see the light if I woke up in the night. These tents in which we dwell. We're constantly moving. Constantly picking them up and going on in life. You young folks. I know it's hard for you to understand right now, but one day you will be married. Probably. And life is going to change for you. And I pray to God that you will remember the teachings that you sat under when you were young people. About making the right choices in life. And following in the footsteps of the Lord. As Peter encouraged us to do. To follow in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he set the supreme example. It is my prayer to God. That as you move your tent from place to place, as it were, that you will not forget what you have been taught from the Word of God as young people. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Oh, well, when I read that, it brings tears to my eyes. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. What did he see there? I remember my wife and I and my two sons, we had the privilege to travel all the way across the United States. My employer gave me a whole month off with pay because of something that I had done that he appreciated so much, that he gave me an extra month off with pay for that year. And so I took my wife and my two sons and we drove all the way across over to California, Washington, Oregon, and back again. And on the way back, we decided to take a different route because we didn't want to see the same country again. So we took a different route, and I'll never forget, young people, hear what I'm about to say to you. I will never forget as we made our way through the forests of California. And as we broke out of those forests, and as we came onto the city of Reno at night, one of the great gambling cities of the world. And as we broke out of that forest, we were up on a hill, and we were looking down and we could see that city with all of its bright shining lights. What an array, what a spectacle of lights. And I knew right then, oh dear God, this is what draws our young people in the world. All of the bright lights, all of the excitement of life. Protect my sons from this. It was something to look down there and see that city. And know the sin, the filth that goes on there. Oh, dear God. Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. What did he see there? He saw the excitement. He saw the bright lights. He saw, oh, grab life for all of its gusto. All that it has to offer. And he did. And eventually wound up right in the city of Sodom. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, young people, I want to warn you tonight. if you stray, after you come to know the Lord, you will not lose your salvation. But dear God, hear me now. If you stray, you will lose your joy. And I pray to God that if that ever happens to you, that He will draw you back to Himself again. So as you move your tabernacle, as you move your tent from place to place throughout life, may you be careful in which direction you pitch your tent. What do you see when you wake up first thing in the morning? Only you can decide that. Be careful in which direction you pitch your tent. The Lord Jesus Christ is the supreme example. He pitched His tent towards His Father. He pitched His tent towards Jerusalem to complete the task that He came here to do. He set His face, as it were, a flint towards Jerusalem. This is why I've come here, to die for the sins of the whole world. And He never allowed Himself to pitch His tent in any other direction. May God give you help and strength, young people. May you always be careful in which direction you pitch your tent. I want to tell you this. When I went to Romania in 1993, I went there as one man. And when I came back as a different man. I repented of many things while I was in Romania. I wept in their pulpit. And the old brethren understood. They understood that I was repenting of many things. If you ever stray from the Lord, pray to God that He will put you in a position that will cause you to look again in the direction of the Lord. I changed the direction in which I was pitching my tent, and I have never been the same since. Oh, praise God that He loved me enough to change me. And may He keep you as you move your tent from place to place. Be careful in which direction you pitch your tent. Our Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be here tonight. We are so glad of Your love and Your care. We are so glad, our Father, that You didn't let us go. Oh, love that would not let me go. Thank You, Father, for that. We pray for our young people here tonight as they are beginning to make their way through life. May they be careful in which direction they pitch their tents. May it always be to honor the Lord. Thank You, Father. Bless them. Keep them. In the name of Your beloved Son, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Amen.